This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 8th chapter of Exodus, verses 25 and 28. And then we'll move to chapter 10, verse 11 and verse 14. Chapter 8, verse 25. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go sacrifice to your God in the land." Verse 28. And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away." In the 10th chapter and in verse 11, the Pharaoh said, "Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired." And then in verse 24, then Pharaoh called Moses and said, "Go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back." Here the Pharaoh is offering to Moses four compromises. Seeing that Moses is determined to serve the Lord, the first compromise that he suggested is that you go but stay in the land. Then he suggested, well, go but don't go very far. Then he said, well, go ahead and go but don't take your children with you. Let the men go, but don't take your children. And finally he said, well, go ahead and go, but leave your flocks, your animals here. The history of the children of Israel is what is called typical history. That is, it is a type of the Christian walk in life. There is a study in seminary called typology. And through the Bible, we have many situations that become a type of other things. Paul the Apostle tells us in Corinthians that those things that happened to the Israelites happened to them for examples to us, that we might learn from the example. And so he points out that Egypt is the example of our old life after the flesh in the bondage of sin. That the Red Sea is typical of our baptism, where we come into a new relationship with God. The wilderness, therefore, becomes typical of having now determined to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I begin to live after the Spirit, but I am still also bound up in the things of the flesh. So it's sort of a mixed kind of life in the wilderness. But I finally come to the Jordan River, which is typical of my reckoning of my old self to be dead with Christ, buried with Him, that I might now live the whole new life in the Spirit as I enter into the promised land. And this is the life that God has promised for each believer, a life that is rich, a life that is full, a life that is overflowing, the life that God wants you to know as you walk with Him. So it is called typical history. So Egypt being a type of our old life in the bondage of sin, the Pharaoh becomes the type of Satan who seeks to keep us bound in that life of sin, who seeks to keep us from coming out to serve the Lord. And as the Pharaoh offered then to Moses the four compromises, so Satan offers to us to compromise from that complete commitment of ourselves to Jesus Christ. And so there is always that pressure to move away from a total, complete commitment to our Lord to a compromised position. But it should be noted that any compromise that we ever make is a position of weakness. The purpose of compromise is to weaken that positive stand that was made. And so as we look now at the compromises that the Pharaoh offered, we see how Satan comes to us and suggests something less than a total commitment of our lives to Jesus Christ. First of all, the Pharaoh said, "All right, I'll let you go to serve your Lord, but stay in the land." And when Satan sees that you are determined to follow Jesus Christ, usually the first thing that he sort of offers or declares is, "Well, all right, if you want to become a believer, if you insist on that, then don't change your lifestyle. Just go ahead and continue to run with the gang. Continue to party, and, you know, you can go to church if you have to. A couple times a year ought to be sufficient, you know. But and if anybody asks you if you're a believer, you can say, "Yes, I'm a believer," and you come on the statistical charts as a believer. But, you know, stay in the land. Don't change your lifestyle. Don't alter your manner of living. What does God's word say? The word of God said, "Come ye apart from them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." God's word says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he who has the love of the world in his heart has not the love of the Father." So Satan suggests that you don't come out of the world. Continue there in that environment. Believe if you need to, but stay in the environment of the world. But God's word calls us out from the world, not to love the world. Now, the danger of taking the first compromise and trying to remain in the world and still walk with Jesus is that you'll find that the pressures of the world will pull you away from your commitment, and you'll soon be entangled again in that yoke of bondage from which the Lord desires to free you. The world will take its toll, and you'll soon be ensnared again in the same old bondage that you once experienced and knew. And so, Moses refused the first compromise, and so Satan offered the second compromise. He said, "Well, all right, if you've got to go into the wilderness, go ahead and go, but don't go very far." And Satan so often says, "Look, if you're going to go and be a Christian, fine. But don't go overboard. Don't become a fanatic. Don't go very far. You know, there are so many fanatics, you know, don't get too deeply involved." And that fear that people have of becoming a fanatic over Jesus. Yesterday, I was watching on television as several thousand people were sitting in a stadium. It was 9 degrees temperature. And yet they were sitting there. not leaving their seats, as they were watching 22 men beat up on each other out on the field. Chasing the man who had the ball and endeavoring to kill him. But when this man with the ball got away from the rest and began to outrun them all, those thousands of people jumped to their feet. They began to throw rolls of toilet tissue. They began to throw other objects. They began to scream and holler, jump up and down, grab each other, hug each other, beat each other overhead with their programs. Some of them took off their shirts in that 90-degree weather and were bare-chested with big letters drawn in blue on their chest. And I heard the man say, "Aren't they avid fans? Tremendous fans here in this area. They're really into their football." If we would dare do anything that nearly approached that in church, if we would get excited and begin to hug one another and jump up and down and shout and all, people would walk away in disgust and say, "I've never seen so many fanatics in all my life. Horrible what people will do, what religion makes people do, isn't it?" Go, but don't go very far. Don't go overboard. Don't get carried away. Don't become a fanatic. Interesting. They admire you if you become a football fanatic. If you do stupid things, put on a chicken outfit and go dance around the stands, and everybody will cheer and yell. They'll encourage you. But if you dare show any emotion, any excitement over Jesus, then they just give you sort of a dirty look and say, "Fanatic." I would like to suggest that we have a lot more to get excited about than they do. Maybe they won yesterday, but they'll probably lose next week. They can't be assured of continued victory. Their victory is so temporal, so passing, so transient. Mine is complete and eternal. The Lord has won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, I have the hope and promise of eternal life. Whee! You know, oh, fanatic, you know. Go, but don't go very far. Don't get fanatical over this. And how Satan would seek to put the damper on us. But what does the scripture say? The Lord said, "In the day that you seek me with all of your heart, in that day I will be found of you." The scripture says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength." All out, total, complete, all the way. The danger of the compromise of just going but not going very far is that if you allow the world to hang on, remnants and relics of the past to hang on, you're going to find that these things are going to begin to drag you down and impede your progress towards our goal. Paul said, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient." There are things that can slow me down. get in my way, impede my progress. And I need to make a total, full, complete commitment of myself to the Lord. I need to go all the way. When Moses refused this compromise, then the Pharaoh called him and he said, who's going to go with you? And Moses said, we've got to go, our wives, children, everybody. He said, well, now look, that wilderness is a rough place. If you want to go, go ahead, but leave your children here. Let the men go. If you want to go ahead, you men go, but leave your children here. And so often, Satan comes along and says, now look, don't force your kids to follow your commitment. Let the children do their own thing. Don't let them be considered weird or different by their peers. Let them listen to their music. Let them go with the kids to the PG movies and all. Don't put your convictions over on your kids. Don't force your kids to go to church. You don't want them to grow up to resent it. And there is always that issue of, should we force our children to come to church? Or should we leave it up to them to decide? Do you leave going to school up to them to decide? Or do you force them to go to school? How many of your kids would, you know, be faithful in their attendance at school if you didn't force them to go? Oh, but they need their education. Oh, they do. Interesting. Do they need the spiritual edification? You bet they do. But go, but don't take your kids. Don't take your children. Don't force them to be different from the world. Are you aware of what your kids are being told in the lyrics of the songs? Do you know what Madonna is saying to your little girl? Do you know what Prince is saying to your children? As a parent, you need to take a stand for your children also. Joshua was able to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Are you aware what your children are seeing when they go to those PG and R movies? The scripture said, train up the child in the way that he should go. Discipline them. And when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Heaven, as glorious and wonderful as it is going to be, and I'm looking forward to it, but with all of the glories and the wonders of heaven, if my children weren't there to share them with me, I would be greatly disappointed. So much of the joy would be taken away if my children weren't there to share with me in God's eternal kingdom. I plan to go, but I plan to take my children along too. They must live by the standards that God has established. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And as I said to the children as they were growing up, as long as you're under our roof, you will abide by our rules. And when you think you don't have to abide by our rules anymore, then you can move out from under our roof. But as long as you're eating at Dad's table, and I'm paying the light bill, and I'm buying your clothes, and I'm taking care of you, and you're living under this roof, you're going to live by the rules and the laws of the house, which are subject to the laws of God. We're going to serve the Lord. You're going to go to church. And you're not going to listen to the music. And you're not going to be doing these things as long as you're living under this roof. Finally, when the Pharaoh saw that they were determined still to go and refused the compromise of leaving their children, he said, "Well, okay, go, but leave your flocks and your animals. Go ahead, give yourself to the Lord, serve the Lord, but don't give your substance to God. After all, you've got to think about yourself, about your future, about your retirement, your security. And therefore, don't give of your substance. Leave that here. Don't make that a part of your commitment. Give God your life, but not your substance." And how often Satan is offering to us that same compromise of withholding from God of our substance. And yet the scriptures tell us that we are not to lay up for ourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust can corrupt and decay, and where thieves can break through and steal. But we should lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. For where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. God said, "Will a man rob God?" And they replied, "Where are we robbing you?" And God said, "In your tithes and your offerings. Bring your tithes and offerings into my storehouse, that there might be meat in my house. And prove me, and see if I will not pour out unto you a blessing that you cannot contain." In Proverbs we read, "Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase." The danger of the compromise is that my possessions can begin to possess me, and they can become a heavy weight that holds me down. They can become a chain around my neck. Jesus said, "How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven." Riches can be a blessing or they can be a curse. If I am the Lord's and all that I have, my substance I also give to Him, then they can be a blessing. But if I'm hanging on and keeping from God that which I have and that which I possess, it can become a curse. Honor the Lord with your substance. A position of compromise is always a position of weakness. And there are always inherent dangers. The Lord wants you to serve Him fully and completely. The Lord is calling for a complete commitment of yourself to Him. Satan is offering the suggestions of compromise. Serve the Lord, but in the land. Serve the Lord, but don't go very far. Serve the Lord, but don't take your kids along. Serve the Lord, but hold your substance for yourself. Leave the animals and the herds here. And God is saying, hey, I want all. I want you to commit your all. I want you to surrender all to me. Let me be the Lord of your life completely. And he's calling today for full, absolute surrender. Shall we pray? Lord, help us to hear the call and to respond. May we not compromise, Lord, but may we make that full commitment in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus wrote his letter to the church of Ephesus, he said to them, I have something against you. You've left your first love. Now, if Jesus were writing a letter to you today, would he maybe include that in his letter to you? The compromises, weakening the position, you're soon not as fervent as you once were. Not as committed. You've been drawn back and pulled back into the life and the entanglements of the flesh. You've left your first love. In a rating of 1 to 10, where would you rate yourself today as far as your commitment to the Lord? Now, the Lord isn't satisfied with anything less than a 10. He wants a total, full commitment of your life to him. And yet, through compromise, we hold back from that total commitment. May God speak to us and challenge us today. In Jesus' name.